All right, now tonight, I want to just talk to you for a minute. I don't know, stay long tonight. I'm tired. But I'm going to challenge everybody in here to do something in the next 24 hours. Coach, I want you to do this in the next 24 hours. You're a Sunday night Baptist. I don't know how many Sunday night folk we got in here that has tried to tell somebody else about the Lord, but I'm challenging you in the next 24 hours that everybody in this room will talk to somebody about the Lord in the best way you know. You say, preacher, I don't know how to do that. I want you to try. You say, well, I'm nervous. Good, I hope you pass out. You say, well, I'll mess up. I know you will. I hope you do. I hope you throw up while you're trying to do it. I just hope it's a wreck. That'll be all right. God always takes a crooked stick and draws a straight line with it. He'll do it. Now, what he won't use is an unwilling vessel. If somebody says, I'm not going to try that. So I'm going to challenge you in the next 24 hours by 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Monday night, that you will have talked to somebody about the Lord in some fashion. You say, was inviting them to church? Well, that's not enough. But if that's all you can do, that'll be all right. You at least kick the door in a little bit. Invite them to come hear the gospel. But if you can get to where you can ask them about Christ, it's even better. Now, I'm on a task force for Southern Baptist. It's called the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force. A week from tomorrow, we meet in Dallas, Texas. Now, because I can't fly, I get to drive to Texas. That's not fun, but anyway, we'll do it because I need to be in the meeting. 22 of us. 22. We're supposed to pray and come up with a visionary plan of helping Southern Baptists surge with a great commission. Now, we are a Southern Baptist church. If you're a guest with us tonight, or you're not a member of this church, or you're a member and you don't know what denominations are all about, and that's okay. But we are one of 50,000 Southern Baptist churches. That's 50,000 Southern Baptist churches in America. Churches and missions. 25 years ago, there was about 25,000 Southern Baptist churches in America. And see, when you plant a church in Romania, that's not a Southern Baptist church. That's a Romanian Baptist church. We love them, but they're not part of our convention, our denomination. We unite with them, love them, and, you know, we partnership. But this is in America, and Canada is where Southern Baptists are. Now, when we had 25,000 churches, we were baptizing about the same number per year as we are baptizing today. Every year. Those 25,000 churches were baptizing about the same number of people annually. And now we got twice as many churches, but we're doing the same amount of evangelism of baptizing people. Now, maybe not everybody's turning in a report. Now, you know, we know that we're not getting it done. Now, that's just in America. Now, if you go outside of America, there are 6,000 people groups in the world that have never heard the name Jesus. A people group. You say, well, what is that? That's like rednecks from North Alabama that only speak a certain way, and they're from Jackson County. Okay? That'd be me. It's a group of folks that you can identify. Normally, it's around some geographical boundary and a language boundary that you'd find them. It'd be Kazakh-speaking people. In area of Kazakhstan that are from China. That was a people group that 10 years ago we could find no Christians. Now there are almost 10,000 of them that have believed on Christ. I met one of the leading Kazakh preachers. He's a young man. I mean, he is on fire. And they look like they're Chinese, but they're really not Chinese. They're Russians that have this Chinese background, and they're Kazakhs. They speak Kazakh. And they were a people group. Nobody could find any believers, but somebody won some, and then they started winning, and that people group was penetrated. But we've got 6,000 of those that we can identify that we've never gotten the gospel to. So as Southern Baptists, we need to touch America in ways that we've never done it. Now, you know where we touch America. We touch America in the rural areas. We do a pretty good job there, but it's the great cities where we don't get it done. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, even Atlanta, certainly Miami. Go to Houston. Over 250 languages spoken in the Houston Independent School District. Unbelievable. I mean, it's just a melting pot of the world that is there. But what we do is we say, okay, we're going to start a church in inner city Houston, so we get a redheaded guy from North Alabama that talks Southern, and we put him in downtown Houston. He doesn't have a chance. I mean, he might reach some other Southerners that happen to come, but you see, we've got to get some indigenous people involved in it. I mean, you know, the best way to reach a Hispanic is to another Hispanic. Somebody speaks Spanish. I mean, it'd be the best way. And so we send a missionary in, but then we try to give that away. Well, what we've got to do is surge with the Great Commission, but what we've done is we've wound up taking care of all of our buildings and our budgets and all of our hierarchy so much. And when that hierarchy gets big, let me tell you, we got 22 people on this committee, and we're trying to break down the bureaucracy so we can get more money out to send more missionaries to more places. And everybody's for it until you start taking some money away from them. I'm for it until you start taking money away from me. And that's the challenge. Well, the best way to have a Great Commission resurgence is for you to talk to somebody. Amen. One person. Now, what if we met back here next Sunday night and the people that are in here, I don't know, it's 400 or 500 people here tonight, I guess. The ushers will count it, and they'll count about 160, but I'm telling you, there's 400 or 500 people in here. And we'll... We come back and we say, okay, 300 people talked. Can you imagine 300 seeds sown in 24 hours? God's looking after that. But he needs a willing vessel. Now, the Great Commission, it's up here on the screen or coming up on the screen, so let's look at it. And I want us to read it out loud together. If we got it, Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, if we got the text to go up there tonight, holler at me if we don't. Are y'all up there? Have we got it? Oh, I knew we did. Amen. All right. Here we go. Let's read together verses 19 and 20. Read out loud with me. Let's stand up and read with gusto. All right? Amen. You're cold, soul. Stand up. It's cold in this house tonight. I don't know why they got the air conditioner on. It's 30 degrees outside. Here. All right. Let's... Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You can be seated. Let me give you the allness factor of the Great Commission, and I want to send us out of here to talk to somebody tonight. Four things I want you to see very quickly. We didn't read verse 18, but Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Here's the allness factor of the Great Commission. Number one is all authority. Authority is not ours. Authority is really not the church's. Authority is the Lord Jesus. He's got all the authority in heaven. He's got all the authority on the earth. This past week, I was with Judge Lacey Collier. He was in that group that I talked about this morning of those gentlemen that wanted to talk about our ministry village. Judge Collier is a federal judge. He's a great guy. Got to know him when we first moved here, and guys robbed us, and they asked me what I thought ought to be the sentence for those. We caught those three young boys, two of them 18, 19 years old, and they were going to sentence them after they found them guilty of robbery at our house. And I wrote Judge Collier, and I said, you ought to give them probation and sentence them to 8 weeks of hearing me preach. I said they would never rob again if they had to come sit and hear me preach 8 weeks in a row. Judge Collier read that letter in the court. He said, I can't sentence you to this because, he couldn't, that wasn't in the guidelines, make you go to church. But he'd tell him, he said, if you ever come before me again, I'll just ask you one question. Have you ever heard this guy preach? I thought that's pretty cool. Do you know, even a federal judge doesn't have the authority. Everybody says that these nine robed Supreme Court judges, I'm telling you, friend, they don't have the authority. They only have authority that God's given to the government. All authority is the Lord's Himself, both in heaven and on earth. He is in charge. And the people you're going to talk to in the next 24 hours, I'm here to tell you, He's the authority in their life. He holds sway over them. He holds sway over you. The allness factor, He has all authority. Not only does He have all authority, but then this text tells us that we should go into all the nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're to go to all nations and share the gospel. Brazil, we go to all the nations. Portugal, we go to that nation. Romania, Kazakhstan, Mexico. Every nation, we're to go and take the gospel. But in these nations, now hear me, in these nations are these pockets of people groups that have never heard. I've been asking some missiologists if there are any people groups in America that have not heard. Is there any people group that has never heard the gospel? No missiologist has been able to identify a people group in America that's never heard the gospel. Now, we do have people groups in America. You go in the inner city of New York or any large city, you'll find various groups. That it's a people group. I mean, it's indigenous and it's there, and it's hard to penetrate with the gospel, but they've heard. You know, we've got people groups in Pensacola. Some missiologists call them tribes. We have tribes in Pensacola. We have rich, white, downtown living, politically savvy people in Pensacola. That's a tribe. And if you're going to reach them, you're going to break into their group different than you're going to break into the folks out at Five Flag Speedway on a Saturday night. That's another group that's out there. You ought to see a bunch of other people groups just go to the county fair here in a few days. They're there. All kind of different groups. The folks that run the fair, there's a group in that. Move from town to town. And I'm telling you, we're to reach all nations, and in those nations, we're to reach the tribes that are there. There's the allness factor of all authority. There's the allness factor of all nations. There's the allness factor of what we are to teach, and that is we teach all that He has commanded. Now watch this. Don't back up on teaching all the Lord's commanded. Now, I need y'all to help me. One of the hardest things in our, every Sunday, when I stand here and give the invitation, people come down this aisle. At least once a month, and most of the time, two times a month, and Huey Pearson could tell you more than I could because he winds up dealing with it a lot of times. Gary could tell you too. We will have often, I had it this week, people ask me about it. A couple living together, not married, but wanting to come and make their public profession of faith in the baptistry, and we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet there is known rebellion in their heart. Now, it doesn't mean that you got to be perfect to get saved, but there are some things for your testimony if you're going to identify with the church. Well, is there anything? Yeah, there's some other things. I mean, if you're running Sammy's downtown, we're going back up on that tip. Now, it doesn't mean you can't come to church. Doesn't mean we won't love on you. You'd be in a small group. Doesn't mean, but there is a minimum that you got to do in order to have a testimony that the Bible says is above reproach. That's in this text right here where it says, "Teach them all that I have commanded you." That's not easy to teach in a world in which people today don't believe that. And that it's just okay to do whatever, live however, and go about your business. So there's the allness factor, all authority. There's the allness factor of all nations. There's the allness factor of all I've commanded you. And then there's the allness factor, number four, of all power that God has given us. Notice what he said down here in the very last verse, verse 20, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. He will never leave us, and he gives us all power to share. Always he'll do that. I was in a restaurant this week, and this is my habit, not every time, but frequently, when the young lady or young man is waiting on me, we get ready to ask the blessing, and I'll say to them, "We're going to pray in a moment, and thank you for your service to us. Is there just something we could pray for you about? How could we pray for you when we pray tonight?" I asked a young lady that in a restaurant downtown this week, and immediately when I said that, she wept. She immediately started to cry. She said, "Today is my little boy's third birthday." And when she said that, of course, I couldn't help it. I glanced down, and there's no wedding band on her finger. So I know I'm dealing with a single mom. She said, "I have a 3-year-old boy," and she said, "I also have a 4-year-old boy at my house." Now, if you think it's not tough sledding for a single mother to raise a 3- and a 4-year-old boy on wages and tips, let me tell you, that's tough. That's tough. I don't know what she was married to, if she ever was married to it. I don't know if she's divorced or she's always been single, but I know she's got to. And when I said I would pray for her and her, and she absolutely began to weep. And she said, "Just pray for me and pray for my little boy. Pray for him to be well and pray for him to be whole and help me know how to love him and meet his needs." And I thought she was going to pull up a chair and we was going to have a counseling session. People want you to pray for them. You say, "Preacher, I couldn't do that." Let me tell you, you can, because he's given you all power. He lives in you. And the allness factor is God in us in order to tell. You see, that's a great bridge to be able to say, "Let me tell you, one of the greatest things you could do for your son is introduce him to the Heavenly Father." And bridge right into that. Then you always got a good track in your pocket, and you're going to leave that after you leave about a 20% tip. Now, if she's going to bring you $25 worth of food and you're going to leave her a dollar, don't bring up Jesus and sure don't mention Olive Baptist Church. Man, that's hard work waiting tables, especially waiting on some of you. Amen. Yeah. Waiting on some of us, I should say. Yeah, I'm no picnic either. Boy, it's hard work. My good friend Johnny Hunt, his mother was a single mom, and she waited tables all of his life. And Johnny said, I begin at 20% with a tip for people who wait on me and go up from there. And he said, people always say to me, you ought to tip by the way they serve. He said, oh, no. He said, I tip like Jesus loved me. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't die for you the way that you merited it? He said, I tip like Jesus gave his life for us. He said, I start at 20 and go from there. 20 is the minimum. If I get good service, I rise up from 20. He said, it's the only way to show the love of the Lord Jesus. And it buys you some opportunity. Do you know that waitresses in this town, you can ask them, the worst day in the week, they don't want to work Sunday. Why? Because the church crowd comes and they don't give nothing. You can ask them, they'll tell you. So, preacher, they're lying. Well, you check it out. They don't want to go on. They hate to work on Sunday because all the church crowd coming in. I hear this over and over. Everybody, they say, bring your bulletin, you get 10%. My Lord. If you get 10% off, give it to that girl, that guy waiting on you. Help them. He said, well, I can't afford it. Then cook at home. Amen. It's about the gospel. It's about the all is factor. And God will give you power to give the gospel. I know you're scared. And I know in the next 24 hours, if you're going to take the pastor's admonition seriously, you're going to be scared to do that. But I'm telling you, you can. If it's at school, you can do it. If it's at work, you can do it. If it's somewhere you go eat tonight, you can do it. If it's a neighbor across the way, you can do it. God's called us to a Great Commission resurgence. And the way for Southern Baptist to have that is for it to begin with you and to begin with me and for us to begin to tell people about the gospel. So, 24 hours. I want us all to tell somebody in 24 hours. Just make a royal mess of trying to talk to somebody about it. You say, well, preacher, I don't know. Maybe it's not the right time. I'm telling you, it's the right time. Under pastoral authority, now is the time to try. Yes, I'm telling you, this 24 hours when you need to do it. You say, well, I want to pray. You've been praying long enough? I want you to take some action. You go forward. You know somebody. If you don't, just pray God bring somebody by you. And I guarantee you, He'll wear you out if you'll ask to be used. Amen. He'll do that. I've had all this eye business done. And so while they're working on me, there's a sweet girl working in the office. And so while they're sticking all that stuff in there and putting drops in your eyes and dilating your eye. You walk out of there looking like a werewolf and everybody looks at you with your eyes stuck out there. Now I got to know her and then I asked her, I said, do you go to church anywhere? She said, no, I don't. I don't go anywhere in town. And I told her where I was. She said, I've been thinking about coming. 2 weeks ago, I was walking in church. She walked right up to me and kind of nudged me and she said, how's your eye? She said, I just decided to come. She said, I was here last week. I came back today. She said, it's really good. It's a cool place. And I was in there 2 weeks ago, and if I went out, she came. She said, oh, Pastor, I won't be there Sunday. I'm on vacation. I'm going. She told me where she was headed. I was back in there Friday, and I saw her walk by, and I hollered at her, and I said, how was your trip? And I asked her the city, and she said, oh, we had a wonderful time. Said, I'll see you Sunday. Look forward to being back at my church. And I don't know what that means to her yet, but we're going to get down to the gospel. We'll get there. But you build her. And now is the time. 24 hours. So who's playing the piano tonight? That's all I need is just a pianist. I'm not going to sing. While the piano plays, is that your son? Okay. I can't see. Zach, I couldn't see. I knew it was one of them. I could tell. Yeah. These lights, Bob. I can see pretty good with these lights, Bob. While Zach plays, I want you just to ask God to make you a part of the Great Commission resurgence and to make you usable in the next 24 hours. And just say, God, here I am. Lord, I'll do it if you run somebody by me. I'll talk to them. I will. I'll try to engage them about the gospel, about the church, about spiritual things. If I'm telling you, we scatter seed, it'll fall on hard ground, it'll fall on shallow ground, it'll fall on thorn infested, and it'll fall on good ground. Somewhere, seed will spring up. We've got to do a better job scattering seed. So I want us to conclude tonight just by praying. While Zach plays, I want you just to bow your head with me. And in the quietness of this hour, just say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Now, some of you already know who you're supposed to go talk to, and you're sweating profusely. Somebody say, I don't have a clue. But, Lord, I'm willing. So here I am, Lord. Here I am. Here I am. Just tell him to use you.